I want to greet you again this morning in the name of Jesus. I had to smile this morning. Sometimes we like to pick on our wives as husbands, and maybe the husbands or the wives pick on the husbands. But this morning I got up quite early, and I wanted to do some studying and some praying and just spend some time with the Lord before we go into our message a little later on here. Anyhow, I was spending some time in prayer, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, would you wake somebody up and have them pray for me? And this morning as we were kneeling back here, my wife leans over and she says, I prayed for you this morning, I couldn't sleep. I'm glad you didn't sleep this morning, hon. That blessed my heart, because God's not sleeping. He heard that little bitty prayer, and He woke up my wife to pray. And I'll leave that as a challenge to you. Us ministers are human. We're tired too. We get nervous up front here too. And sometimes we have messages to share that we don't like to share. Sometimes we don't know where the message is going to go. This morning's one of those times. We've been spending a lot of time in Ephesians. And this morning we're going to stay out of Ephesians. We're going to go to something a little different this morning. I want us to think back this morning. I've titled my message this morning, Come. I want us to think back this morning for a bit over the past year. How did you start out 2015? How are you going to end 2015? Yeah, I'm concerned how you started out. But you know what? I'm not near as concerned about how you started out 2015 as I'm concerned about how are you going to end 2015. For some of us, this has been a difficult year. It's been a year when God took us and He chiseled away and He did some things we didn't like. For some of us, it's a year that we now have an empty chair in our house. Maybe we've lost a brother or a sister. Maybe there's been a miscarriage. Betty is here this morning without Paul. It's been a difficult year. For some of us, it's been an excellent year. Seems like the finances just grew and grew and grew, and it's been a really, really good year financially. Some of us might be in deeper debt than what we were when we started out in 2015. Some of us have gained new friendships. Some have lost some. Or you wish you still had that friendship and it's gone. I'm not asking us this morning to look back, to tear us apart. But I want us to look back for a little bit this morning just to reflect a little bit. Where have I come this year? Am I where God wants me right now? Am I better? Am I bitter? I have 3 points I want to look at this morning to consider this morning. I want to read our key verse this morning, Matthew 25, verse 34. Would you please turn there? We're going to spend some time in Matthew 25. We're also going to hop around to a few other scriptures. Matthew 25, verse 34 says this, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, Ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's our key verse. The key phrase this morning is, come ye blessed of my Father. Let's break it down a little bit further. The key word this morning is come. And we'll understand that a little better as we go on. Turn to John chapter 14. My first point I want to talk about this morning is I will come again. This is Jesus speaking. I will come again. John 14:1 says it this way, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus told his disciples, and if you want to picture a little bit, when they left town, they went out and he was ready to ascend up into heaven. He says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm coming back again. That was the promise that he left. I will come again. That promise is for all of us today. He's coming back for you and I. He's coming back for the church. But he's coming back for a people who are prepared to meet him. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't understand all this. I don't understand all the end time facts. I'm not even going to try to pretend that I do. I read Revelation, I get an idea one time, I'll read it another time when I have another idea. But I do know He's coming back. And you have an opportunity this morning to know where you're at with the Lord. You have an opportunity to make year 2016 better or bitter. Jesus has so much love for us that He was willing to come to die for us, to take our sins, to take Him to the cross. And then He says, I want you to come spend eternity with me. I don't understand that. But I do know that that's the way it is. Philip Yancey says it this way. He says, grace teaches us that God loves us because of who He is. He's love. He can't hold back. He's love. Not because of who we are. But He's coming back because He has such a love for His children. Such a love for His church. You know, that brings me to a place where I have nothing else but praise. Nothing but honor. I want to read a couple of verses out of Psalm 135. It says, praise ye the Lord. And think about this. With the fact that He's coming back for you and me. Put your name in there. He's coming back for us. That causes me to praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. We are chosen. We are His. He's coming back for us. Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 11. And the second point I'd like to look at here for a minute is, am I awake? Am I awake? Romans 13, verse 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that would say that we're not in the last days. This was written a long time ago, and they already thought they were in the last days. We look around us, we see what's happening around the world, we see everything that's happening with our weather system, with the earthquakes and everything that's going on. These are things that are prophesied. I believe the end is near. I believe He's coming back soon. Verse 11, He says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep." Friends, we need to wake up. One of these days, the clouds are going to split. He's going to come back. It's the last. That's the last we're going to have opportunity. Am I living my life this morning? Should He come this morning, that I'm ready? That I've laid everything at the foot of the cross? I can't stress enough how important it is this morning to be ready. I'm not here to scare you this morning. I don't want to try to scare somebody into heaven. But I want you to think about this verse that we read. "Come, ye blessed of my Father." There's not a word, not a phrase that I want to hear any more than that. When I come to the judgment that Jesus says, "Come." And I know there's nothing else that you would like to hear any more than that either. It is so important that we are ready. "For now our salvation is nearer than when we believe." Luke 21:28 says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." The night is far spent. He talks here by casting off the works of darkness. I like to picture that as wearing dirty clothes. Clothes that are torn, that are ripped, that are filthy. He lists some of the things here that make these clothes filthy. Rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife and envying. Fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Making provision for that. He wants us to take those clothes off, and He's got a robe of righteousness that He wants to put on us. I talked about that in my last message. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5 verse 1 says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." What's he saying here in verse 8? He says, "Be sober, be vigilant." What does that word mean? If you go to 1 Peter 4, verse 7, it explains a little bit. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Being vigilant, being awake, watching unto prayer, or spending time in prayer, being connected to God, staying awake. I like to look out at other churches. And we can pick out churches that, yeah, they're probably sleeping. We can so easily do that. But let's look at Calvary Chapel this morning. Let's make it a little bit more personal. And you know, I cannot be here this morning. I can't come here and I can point at you. You're sleeping. You're not awake. But we know in our hearts. Every one of us knows in our hearts where we're at this morning. Whether we're sleeping or whether we're awake. Whether we're connected to Christ or whether everything just seems dead. I challenge us this morning to look into our hearts. And my prayer is this morning that the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart's door this morning. When your heart starts beating a little faster, things just don't seem quite normal. My prayer is that He speaks to us this morning. Let's drop down to verse 11. Actually, no, let's keep on reading there in verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Verse 11 there says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together. I believe what he's saying here is that we need to encourage each other. That word comfort means exhort. We need to be pushing each other on in a kind way. He's coming back. How are you living? When's the last that I asked somebody in our congregation here, how was your week? Did you walk with God this week? Can you tell me something that happened this week in your life that God did for you? What did you do for God this week? When's the last I did that? He's telling us here that it's important that we comfort ourselves, that we encourage each other, we exhort each other. Time is drawing to an end. It's coming to a close. Am I awake? I'd like to go to the third point that we want to look at. And this is our final point. I've titled this one, Come. Go back to Matthew 25. I wasn't sure how much I wanted to read out of this chapter. I love to read the whole chapter. There's so much good in here. The first part, starting at verse 14, he talks about the talents. About what we have been given in life, what we do with them. He's encouraging us, I believe, to take what he's given us and to use them, for his honor and for his glory. I want to look at two verses here, see if I can find these real quick. I'm not going to read everything like I had planned two times moving on. There were two of these men that had received these talents that came back. They presented to God what they did with their talents. Then in verse 21, he says to one of these men, he said the same thing to both, I believe. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then we go down to verse 30. We have the guy that took the one talent. He hid it. He didn't do anything with it. He had a fear that was not a good fear. Verse 30, it says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then we're going to go on to verse 31 there. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Picture that with me for a bit here. The Son of Man is coming. Jesus is coming. He's on His throne. Let's go to the next verse there. Before Him shall be gathered all nations. Can you imagine that? Can you picture that? He's on the throne. He's got His angels around Him. And in front of Him are all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. There's a separation coming. Which side am I going to be on when this happens? That decision is made here in our lives today. Which side am I going to be on? I can't walk this life and choose to live for myself and come to this judgment here and expect to be on the right side. It's either the sheep or the goats. I heard a guy this morning, I was listening to a message this morning, and this guy said, you know, sheep and goats are different. He says, sheep go meh. He said, goats go but. Isn't that how we normally do? Jesus asked something of us, and instead of responding, we say, but God, no, but. There's going to be a separation. Let's go to verse 34. Let's pay close attention to verse 34 here. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, those are the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come. Can you put yourself in that place, being amongst that crowd of people, and waiting to hear your name called? Jesus is either, God is either going to look and He's going to say, I don't know that one. Put him over here. Or He's going to say, I know him, that's mine. Put him on the right side. I've got a mansion for him. I guess my desire today is I want to do all I can in this life to walk faithful. So when I hear Him, the words are not depart, but the words are come. Come and go with me. We could continue on in the rest of this chapter. We're going to stop there. What's my walk like today? Again, I'm not here this morning to look at you and to cause you to want to make some changes because you have a fear. Yeah, hell is something to fear. It really is. But I would like for you to think about your life this morning. How much do you love Jesus? Our theme this year has been in love with Jesus. How much do I really love Him? He's coming back. Hebrews 9:28 says it this way. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. We understand that, don't we? He came and He took our sins. He died for us. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The second time He's not coming back to give us an opportunity to remove our sins. But He's going to come back with salvation in His right hand for those that have chosen to listen to His call. May I ask you this morning, where are you at this morning? I can't answer that for you. But where am I at this morning? Is my heart ready? Am I ready to meet Him when He comes? We're going to receive that call someday. My mother's on her deathbed. I believe her call is coming soon. We have one opportunity. We're going to close the service this morning. I'd like for you to stand. Jesus says, come. How will you accept this? Will you? Are you going to shove it off? I'm going to ask Lauren if he would lead us in a verse of song this morning. I'm not sure where you're at this morning. Maybe you've never given your heart to God. Maybe you've never answered that tug in your heart. I'm not sure where you're at. If that's how it is, would you come this morning and allow Him to clean you up and to fill you with His Spirit? Maybe this morning you've been walking with Him, but you can sense in your heart that there's something that's holding you. Something that's not going to let you hear that come. Would you come this morning and lay that at the foot of the cross? Lauren, would you lead us in a song? Would you heed the Spirit this morning? Feel the Lord asking us to sing another verse. I don't want to beg this morning, but would you please not leave this morning with sin on your heart, with something that would keep you from hearing? Come. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity that You've given us, Lord, to be a part of Your family. Lord, we don't deserve this, but yet You offer it to us freely. Lord, we ask for those that are up here at the altar this morning. Lord, would You allow Your Holy Spirit to wash them clean? Would You allow them to leave with a peace, knowing that all is on the altar, that they're ready to hear, come. And for all of the rest of us, Lord, that listened this morning to this message, Lord, as You spoke into our hearts, continue to do a work in our lives, Lord. May we serve You faithfully. We love You, Lord. We bless You. We ask that You would dismiss us with Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Mm-hmm.